Hi, we are Tim and Carolina, and we are a couple of friends, colleagues, and former coworkers.
We love our building industry, our clients, and our community. And that inspired us to share our experiences and our guest experiences to broaden perspectives and think a little differently. Please leave a review on iTunes and tell us how we can serve you better. And share with anyone you think might have some interest working in this industry. This is all made possible through support from Nichiha.com and Menvio Smarter Building Materials Marketing Podcast. Information
and motivation to attract future talent to the building industry. You can leave questions you'd like us to discuss or request to be a guest or recommend a guest at buildperspectives.com. So in this episode, we've been building up to this from the time that we started, and we're going to be talking about the world of certifications in building materials, but specifically we're going to get into what B Corps are. What do you think?
B Corp. That is probably the shortest acronym for anything in the building industry that I've ever heard. B Corp. Because usually it's like LEED, ZNE, ZNH, ZEH. Mm-hmm. What other ones are there? AWP.
Declare. Fair trade, level, green guard,
blue. There's a lot, and I can see where it would be a lot for architects, designers, interior designers, developers, to the people installing in the field and the suppliers involved in the middle. It's a lot to talk about, think about, work into conversation. How do people, and we're going to talk a little bit about how people can broach these subjects and raise awareness of them and make them interesting and understand them better so that this can be a motivation. It may be something new that people can talk about with their clients. But I guess the impetus for this whole episode is, and how we got started talking about this, is what is a B Corp?
So a B Corp, which I believe is short for Benefit Corp or Benefit Corporation, is a business that has a triple bottom line. They have people and planet and profit. So they care about people that work for them and the people that use their products. They care about the planet, and then they care about profits, which is kind of, you know, a different way of thinking. Those B Corps don't put profit first. They put people and planet first.
I think it's interesting that we talk about in marketing a lot about the four or five P's, you know, people, promotion, placement, pricing, product. And we kind of venturing into another set of P's. So for the bottom line. So that's really interesting because it's not just about what's on that financial statement or what happened that quarter. Isn't there a lot that goes into it long before we're looking at financial results?
Oh yeah. It's, you know, how did you have
a conversation to this, right?
Right. What sort of practices led you to the profits that you have? And, you know, companies that do well, that give to their communities, that give to their employees, that treat their employees well, that have strong, environmentally friendly manufacturing practices are proven to make more money. So it doesn't hurt your bottom line. It actually helps your bottom line to put people and planet before profit.
Right. It's more sustainable. There's some examples people would know out there that are brands that people would know, like what kind of company would be a B Corp company? You have some examples?
Yes. Patagonia is one of the, I think they have one of the highest scores, the B impact scores.
Our audience should definitely know Patagonia.
Patagonia is very well known. Ben and Jerry's, Warby Parker.
Great. Now I'm hungry and I want to go in the sun.
You want to go hiking or surfing?
Yep. Exactly. While eating ice cream and wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, Patagonia has a
for you guys there.
Patagonia has a program called Let My People Go Surfing. If you're in Patagonia, you can just go. If the surf is up, you can go surf.
Burton snowboards that way. If you just wanted to take off to the mountain in the middle of the day, you could do it.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's still that way since he died, but
Ben and Jerry's has a triple digit B impact score.
What does that mean? So is it a higher score?
The higher the score, the better you are.
People like me that don't know. So the higher score, the better. It's not like golf.
It's not like golf. No, it's the opposite. So there are five areas that you're rated on. Governance, work, how you treat your workers, your employees, how you treat your community, how you treat the environment, and how you treat your customers. So each of those areas have a rating. And that rating is based on a very extensive audit that every company that wants to be certified goes through and fills out. And then the people at B Lab come out and audit you. They don't audit you on every single question that you answered, because that would be just... cost prohibitive, and it just would take forever. But they randomly choose different areas of those answers in that audit. And I can give you some example questions from that audit. Like,
yes, yes, please do.
So one is
to see the relevance, you know,
for right. Yeah. So one of them is, what is the minimum number of vacation days, sick days, personal days, holidays offered annually to full-time tenured workers?
Okay. Most people should be able to answer that fairly readily.
Exactly. So it's a multiple choice audit. So you just answer the way, you know, you answer honestly, and then they kind of grade you based on that. So quality of life, that would fall under workers. Under environment, they ask, does your company monitor and record its universal waste production, for example? Under governance, a sample question would be, does the company have a formal process to share financial information with its full-time employees? So transparency is huge.
Transparency. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that question would be there. You think it sounds unrelated. But I guess if you have your people that they're bought into what you're doing, that increases the health of the entire organization. And they're more likely to buy in if they know what's going on, if they understand.
Yeah. And happy employees make better products.
Right.
And happy employees stay in a company. And it, you know, companies have to spend so much money hiring, rehiring, training, and you lose so much time and so much money with that. If you retain the good employees that you have by treating them well, by giving them vacation, by giving them opportunities to do well, like one of the impact scores has to do with volunteer time. So one of the questions is, are full-time employees explicitly allowed any of the following paid or non-paid off hours for community service? Some other companies that are B Corps, I believe Carnegie makes fabrics, I believe. 3form has committed to be zero waste as an entire enterprise. Fire Clay Tile has committed to be zero net waste as of 2021. So building materials would benefit from and can very much be involved with either becoming a B Corp or implementing practices that are going to have a positive impact on their people, their employees, the community that surrounds them, their customers, the environment, and the world.
When people say, or when you use the term people and planet before profit, it's sort of like profit because people and planet. Profit's the outcome. It's not the imperative.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's the point. Is it's like, if you build it, he will come, right? Put the people and the planet first, the profits are going to be there.
I have a quote I wanted to read you. So this is one of the leaders at Sekisui House, which purchased Woodside Homes, and they're doing the Chihuahua House in Las Vegas right now, using prefab methods, Japanese construction engineering products. And in the interview on Builder Magazine, you can see this if you just search Choa House online. It says, CO2 emissions and the life cycle of our houses comes from the energy used when people are living in the houses, and zero energy home, ZEH, is the solution for that. As for the rest, the majority of the emissions thereafter come from the building materials we purchase. This is a whole of supply chain issue and not something we can improve or control by ourselves. Home builder supply chains are deep and wide, and this is one of our greatest challenges moving forward.
Yeah, well, I agree.
So when I think about that statement and other programs, not to poo-poo them, but, you know, let's take LEED or the green building on the residential side, the green building certifications. Those all tend to focus on the best attributes of an assembly of products and take the best attributes of those and apply them. And that's good. But when you look at it holistically, that sounds more like the B Corp.
So Weed is actually changing and implementing some of these requirements into their grading system. So now, like, I think the one that you and I are most familiar with is the BDNC, the right. Building Design and Construction, just because that's, you know, we're manufacturers, that's all we care sure. about. So we tell our customers, this is how many points you get if you use us. But there are others. There's even a LEED Zero now. There's LEED for neighborhoods, for communities, for interior design, for homes, and LEED Zero. And then there's the integrative side of things. So they're looking at carbon footprint and carbon offsets and the supply chain. And I know for a fact that for manufacturers, because that affects us too, they care about where you source the material. So,
and how you source it.
Exactly. And you know, where was that material made? How long did it take to get to that job site? We're looking at, you know, how long it takes to install, like how long the installers need to be showing up, the crews need to be showing up, all the equipment needed to install and put together that entire project. So I think LEED is actually stepping up and implementing some of these things. But then there's LEED is just very comprehensive, but then there are other kind of lesser certifications. It just can be, it can get really confusing for the AEC community and designers and architects to kind of like, how do I select this? It's got this, you know, it's got the DECLARE certification, or it's a mindful material, or it's fair trade, or it's cradle to cradle. But
it's like the badges you get in on TikTok or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like little badges and little, you know, hearts and likes and whatnot. But how does that translate? And how do you know how the product was made? Yes, right. That product itself qualifies for something, but you know, how did they do their waste management? How is their water efficiency in that facility, et cetera.
So I know Jessica at Kara Green, they have a podcast and they talk a lot about, and she's done some presentations about how healthy buildings, wellness are the new green in construction. And that because there was so much greenwashing, a use of that term, which is obviously yeah. different than LEED, much mm-hmm. different than B Corp, of course. So how does this relate to that? And kind of talking about the supply chain, the quote from Sekisui House, what steps do you think building product manufacturers can take to start to analyze their operation when it comes to their people and human resources and their raw materials and resources and manner of extracting and deploying those resources? How can people start to analyze that and start to take a B Corp view of it, even if they're not intending, they're using the philosophy and not intending necessarily to apply for it? How can people get started, you think?
Pick one of the four areas, pick either environmental, workforce, community, or governance, and start there, you know, start with one of those. Make this part of your strategy, make this part of your company goals. That's, I think Ben & Jerry's was one of those first companies that put environmental footprint or environmental impact into their company goals. They were one of the first. So I would say start with pick one. Do you want to treat your employees better? Do you want to take a look at your manufacturing practices, your carbon footprint? One option that Fireclay does, for every time that we ship a sample to a client, we purchase carbon offsets. And what that does is basically it's like a gift card and you donate money to offset that carbon footprint that you created by literally shipping FedEx or UPS or whatever samples to your client. You create an offset by giving a sort of gift card or receipt that goes towards a project or initiative that supports production of carbon and the restoration of oxygen and other necessary gases. So that's one thing that companies can do is purchase carbon offsets. And we can provide more information on that, or feel free to email one of us for more info on carbon offsets. But I know that's something that Fireclay does intentionally.
So I just have one more interesting quote on that. Philosophically, not necessarily related to B Corp, but one of the quotes from this video I was telling you about, Sekisui House, says, "Sekisui actually sells a happy life for residents. the environment is not ours. We are borrowing from our future, and we need to take responsibility for that. So not only are we borrowing from our future from the standpoint of raw materials and the impact of the carbon footprint we leave behind, but also when it comes to our people, how they feel, how they're treated. So if people want to find out more about B Corp, they can look on Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram for the hashtag B Corp, B-C-O-R-P. Mm-hmm. Where do they go if they want to find out more about the qualifications and interview questions or audit questions?
Well, the main website is bcorporation.net. And you can actually, if you're looking for companies that are certified B Corps, or if you want to look at a company scores, they have a directory. So you can type in the company name and it'll tell you their score and how they did in each of the different areas of governance. And I think that on that website, they have a quote similar to the one you just read. It's a John Muir quote. Mm. We did not inherit this land from our parents. We're borrowing it from our children.
Right.
And that's the point.
It changes the way you look at everything.
Exactly. And a lot of times companies, they're not out to destroy the planet consciously. No. We're kind of doing business the way we quote unquote have always done it. It's always been done this way. Well, maybe it's time to stop and think and review and take a look at your manufacturing practices. Another, not to keep plugging Fireclay, but we don't have metallic looking finishes because metallic glazes are toxic. So we limit our product offering because we're committed to not making something that's going to be that have harmful emissions if you install it inside, for example. So we care about indoor air quality of our users, but we also care about the employees in our factory, and we don't want to poison them either.
In the book, The First 90 Days, it's a leadership book for when someone takes over a C-suite or a VP position of some kind, about their first 90 days. And mostly it talks about listening. And that's how you should spend your first 90 days as a leader. But one of the concepts in there that I was reminded of when you were covering B Corp philosophically is the need for people to not get overwhelmed, that every leader goes into a role with great intentions. Like people, they don't wake up in the morning and go like, well, we're going to ruin the earth, you know?
Exactly.
But you have to pick your battles, you know, because it is a battle. You're battling the age-old capitalist philosophy of profit, profit, profit. And you're looking at changing your organization in one small way. Like you said, start with one of those four things. Research it, take some action this year, and your company will be better for that, even if you're not qualified for B Corp yet. So
mm-hmm. make it a goal, make it something to shoot for. And just the point is just to take some action.
Yeah, really good stuff today, Carolina. Enjoyed hearing and learning so much more about that from you. I was like probably a lot of folks in our industry just not as aware because it's not one of the things we hear about every day.
Yeah, and I think that different parts of the country, we, you know, like out here in California, we are uber vigilant with compostable materials, and it's just different parts of the country. It's not that, you know, in the East Coast, we don't care. It's that in the East Coast, we're just not, it's not top of mind like it is here. Like it's become part of the culture here now. And right. So we just need to be make people aware that it's a thing.
Right. Especially since most raw materials for building materials and manufacturing happens east of Denver.
Right. Exactly. That's where the highest density of our population is.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all got value out of this. This podcast is made available free to you, our loyal listener, thanks to Nichiha.com and Venvio. Please subscribe and rate us on your podcast player. Also, podcasts are new to a lot of folks. So help them subscribe and download these episodes and other ones that are similar.
Yes. And if you find Build Perspectives helpful and motivating, please, please, please share a link to the show and let people know how to subscribe so they can be notified when new episodes drop.
Entertaining architecture and construction talk and fresh Build Perspectives, something my dad says you can never have too much of. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.